fantastic. So we apologize for the noise behind us, but obviously we got a major competition going on, the weightlifting competition. And we're here with a special guest, Charlie Zamora.
What's up?
The one and only of Caffeinated Kilos, also the owner of Warrior Z Health and Fitness.
Health and Fitness, yeah.
Warrior Z CrossFit.
Warriors, yeah, it's Warrior Z or Warriors Barbell Club, powerlifting, sports performance, pretty much a strength and conditioning gym.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And you're also a competitive weightlifter?
I compete in weightlifting. I wouldn't say if I'm competitive or not. I like to have fun.
Okay, cool.
So I just don't feel there's anything that I can't do. So if awesome. I do something, it's I do my best.
Okay. So you have a very open mindset in terms of approaching new things?
Yeah. So for me, I've grown up around sports my entire life, and I just love to compete. If someone were to ask me, are you a weightlifter? Are you a CrossFitter? Are you a powerlifter? Are you whatever? I'm none of those things.
Okay.
I'm a competitor. I like to compete. Whether that's business, whether that's life, whether that's checkers, whatever. I like competing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So this is, you're back at the Arnold, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
This is your third year here?
Second year here as a vendor and kind of working. And
okay.
We just kind of been a big part of Columbus Weightlifting, helping them out. We sponsor the meet. We also have athletes that compete every year in it. And I got to compete this year and just having a lot of fun.
Okay. How did it go? We had the pleasure of watching you.
Yeah. I got a total. I told Sean Waxman was doing the the interview with Flo Lead, or he was kind of like the voiceover. I was like, Sean, let people know that like 3 months ago I couldn't walk, and this is a comeback meet.
Yeah.
Just to get some experience back on the platform in a pretty big setting prior to nationals.
Sure.
So I just want to get back on the platform, make some lifts, and make it in a pressure environment where you know some of the best in the U.S. that are lifting.
Okay. You mentioned the comeback. What happened?
It's kind of a long story, but I would say that sometimes I train kind of reckless with being very competitive. If someone says, let's max out, I'll generally just do it. And we did a lifting tour towards the East Coast and sort of the South, and we were maxing out every day for seminars and having fun. And last year I did USA Weightlifting Nationals. I took 17th, which was cool. It was my first national meet for the Nationals. And then I also, that same year, competing in Raw Nationals for USA Powerlifting.
Oh, wow.
So after I did my last deadlift at USA PL Raw Nationals, I felt like kind of a weird strain in my back.
Okay.
And then immediately that night, we went to a max out session right after that competition, and then drove an RV like through 7 states and maxed out every night. So I think it was compounding, like kind of training a little reckless.
You didn't stop, you just kept going.
Just kept going, yeah. And then we were at Worlds in, I think it was November. It was the day before my birthday, and my back just went out. And so I couldn't really walk for 2 days. They put me on a bunch of painkillers and muscle relaxers, which I didn't really care for, but it's the only way I could kind of stand up. I got off all of that, and basically my last meet when I was on a platform was in September. I totaled 305, 140, 165, and then I hadn't been on the platform since then. The plan was to do the American Opens, then do the Arnold. Well, I couldn't do the American Opens, and then the Arnold, I knew I qualified for the session, so I knew that I was okay to lift in that session because I have a legitimate total for this meet. But I didn't want to not compete because I qualified, but I also didn't want to negatively represent the lifters in that session.
Sure.
So I was having some of like an internal battle. Like, what should I do? And I thought about it. I was like, I'm a competitor. I'm here to compete. I made the total. I want to get back on the platform and just do my best.
Sure.
And so it was by far not my best lifting when it comes to total or performance. But I think there's something to be said about challenging yourself and getting back on the stage, you know, after experiencing adversity, and not be afraid to be vulnerable in front of others when most people look at you to be strong all the time.
People in front of you that you're competing in front of.
Yeah, and they all expect you to be strong and do certain things.
Yeah.
And when you're incapable of doing those things, I think it's it was good mentally for me to go out there and do my best, but not have it be a reflection of what I'm capable of.
Okay.
It's what I was capable of today.
Sure.
And so I think that that's something that's important, is always do what you're capable of today and see it as a way to grow forward.
Because okay. You came back fairly quickly. You know,
oh, no, my back doesn't feel good at all.
Okay.
Yeah, I probably won't train for about a week.
All right.
But I'm also about life experience.
Okay.
And so even if I won't be able to really train too much for the next week because my back's just tight again, it was worth it to do the meet for me.
Okay.
And so, I don't know, I'm a thrill seeker, so that could work in adverse ways. But so they didn't feel good at all. Yeah, a lot of people suggested I didn't do it, but I did it anyways. Okay. Had some fun.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I'm glad you're feeling okay.
Yeah.
And you'll be all right.
Yeah, there's a lot of comments on Instagram and online. They're like, yeah, 300 discs and you're able to compete. I was like, those are very low percentages of what I'm capable of. And it was really hard for me to even do the numbers I did. So it's adrenaline. I was excited.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now just taking a step back, you mentioned you kind of grew around sports. And you kind of, I mean, caffeine and ketones is really involved in weightlifting, CrossFit, powerlifting, and whatnot.
Yeah.
How did you develop into, I guess, the powerlifter or weightlifter? Why did that strike a chord with you?
I like competing, so I'll just keep going back to that. I was, I have awesome parents, and at a very young age, they made sure that I had a good faith, and they also made sure that I had respect, and a lot of the things that I've learned in life was because of sports. So I'd say just growing up in sports and learning how to win and lose as an individual, learning how to win and lose as a team, instilled a pretty good work ethic in myself. And so I've been able to do a lot of things because of that. So for the pursuit of weightlifting was because we started a lifestyle brand and I loved weightlifting.
Okay.
And I was like, man, like I should commit to this. This should be, you know, something I should try to compete at. I just want to do it for fun. Let's see what can happen. And I was able to do that. And powerlifting, I looked at some of the numbers and I was like, well, I could do that. So I just did it.
Okay.
I'm the guy that's like, you need to try that, or, you know, let's jump out of a plane, or let's go.
But if you try, you kind of go full.
I'm going to go for it. Yeah.
110%.
110% in everything I do.
Okay. What are some of the challenges and struggles you face in training for weightlifting or powerlifting?
Being tall, yeah, it okay. Kind of sucks. I mean, can't really say that. Brian Shaw is a great example of someone who's extremely tall and like extremely strong.
Yeah.
So that's really awesome. But I don't know. There's struggles just like everybody else. Someone else could say they struggle because they're not as tall. Someone could say, well, their levers are different or this or that. I don't know. I think that I don't want to make an excuse for any reason. I think that everybody should look at who they are and know that they're blessed to be alive and blessed to do the things they can do. So some things that I would struggle with are things that others might not struggle with, but they have their own struggles. So I think that's what makes us human, what makes us real.
Okay.
And so I say that's actually one of our strengths, is that we have to find ways to overcome certain things.
How do you overcome some of those things? How have you overcome some of those things?
Desire.
Okay.
You know, like will, a strong mental attitude.
Okay.
Obviously, there's like the technical answers, which is, you know, like trying to find different core exercises and different areas to like make sure I'm developing my legs completely, making sure, because with long levers and a long torso, that's a long position to hold in the rack position or whatever, where, you know, if you're a little bit more compact, it's easier to stay tight. So just finding certain tools like through physical therapy and through accessory work to help me kind of pick away at those things. So snatch and clean jerk is what you compete in, but I really believe that people need to do like a lot of core and assistance work outside of that to develop the complete athlete.
What are some of your favorite core exercises, accessory work?
So they call them like bird dogs or something, where it's like opposite hand, opposite leg, you're on all fours, and you just work on mobility. I like the GHD. I don't like planks and side planks, but those are probably the best thing you can do to develop your core. I love toes to bar. But I would say a lot of the static isometric holds are probably the best. Like side planks are really good, front planks. Just anything where you could hold a static position and maintain a hold. L6. sits. Okay. Those are all things I suck at. That's why I got to work on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're also a coach, correct?
Yeah. So I coach a lot of things. I coach weightlifting, powerlifting, CrossFit. I've had athletes that competed in all different sports at all different ages. I got wrestlers as young as 6.
Okay.
Baseball players, any athlete you could think. So my gym in the Northern California area, specifically in the city of Elk Grove, we're one of the top strength and conditioning gyms in our city, and kind of in, I would say, in Northern California. And we have athletes that play, you know, in Division I schools. We have athletes in professional sports. And I've had some of these kids from when they were 13 years old to now playing in Major League Baseball. And so it's been a lot of fun. And I'm not the best in the world at what I do, but I'm the best for the athletes that come to me. And if I don't know something, I'm willing to outsource and find other people that can help them. And so I've never been ashamed to ask for help. And I think as a coach, sometimes people pride themselves on their own program, the things that they do. And I think that's awesome. But I also feel like if you have an athlete that needs help, if you can't provide them the specific help they need, you need to bring in professionals that can. So a lot of times for certain stuff, I'll bounce ideas off of different coaches in the community to help build something for my athletes to where they have the ability to go, like say I need them to work on their bench press, right? Or I need them to work on pulls. We'll send them to Mark Bell, who's a good friend of mine. Let's say we need to get better at the Olympic lifts. Like I could coach it well and efficient, but I would then go take them to Dave at Cal Strength to kind of fix them up or tune them up.
You don't fake it till you make it. You actually recognize the areas of improvement.
I recognize the areas I'm weak in, and I find people to help me develop that. Just like I recognize areas I'm weak in my body, and I work on assistance tools to make me stronger. I think pride is the biggest thing that keeps people from being successful. You have to be humble enough to know that you don't know everything and be willing enough to learn. Yeah, and I think that a constant learning process is how we evolve as people. If anyone says they know everything they need to know already, I would say then they stop growing.
Okay, that's going to be my question. How do you continue to become a better coach? You just pretty much answer.
Yeah, I pursue the best coaches in the world. I would say not only in the United States, and I learn from them. I learn from the best athletes in the world, and I make myself vulnerable to be coached and have new ideas and new thoughts. And it's not that I'm changing everything that I'm always doing, but I'm willing to have information. And as I take that information, I take out of it what I think is going to be able to help myself and the athletes that I coach and the people that I help to be at their best abilities. And if I can't articulate what it is that I want for them to understand, then I find a way to have someone who can.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
So as an athlete and a coach, as an athlete, you get coached.
Yes.
What's the kind of dynamic? Do you always listen to your coach?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
In training, no.
Okay.
In competition, yes.
Okay. Do you expect your athletes to listen to you when you coach them?
I would like my athletes to be similar to me.
Okay.
Because I could work better with understanding like how I operate. So there's people that, like for myself, what I mean is, do I listen to my coach all the time in training? If my coach gives me hey, you need to fix this, I'll fix it. But like, let's say they give me programming and I have to do it on my own, sometimes I'll go off the program.
Okay.
And so I'm not doing exactly what I'm told. Yeah. And that can be frustrating. But if I'm in the back room and I'm told to sit down and not move and then grab a bar and sit back down, I do whatever the coach says. So in the aspect of performance on the stage or getting ready for competition or at the competition, I'm like 100% dedicated nails. When it comes to training, I have to be honest with saying sometimes I deviate from the program or sometimes I miss a few things or I'm always trying my hardest, but it's a little bit easier for me to be a little bit more relaxed or not as mentally sharp, which some would say that's an adverse thing, something I need to work on, but I'm humble enough to be real and answer the question honestly.
Okay. And how do you keep up with your training? Because you guys do travel a lot. You mentioned you guys did a major tour, through the South and the whole country. How do you keep up your training with you?
Not making excuses.
Okay.
So I was training with Kendrick Ferris in Miami one night. We were at dinner, and Kendrick's like, hey, do you want to train? Well, it was at lunch. He's like, hey, you want to train later today? I'm like, all right, cool, we'll train. Then it kind of gets late in Miami. We're at this event, and then we eat dinner. Then after dinner, I thought Kendrick went home and he didn't train. He's like, hey, man, I'm at the gym waiting for you. I'm like, Kendrick, it's like 11 o'clock at night.
Okay.
He's like, what's time?
You have to make time.
No, he's like, what's time? It's irrelevant. Like, time is something that man made to keep track of hours within a day.
Yeah.
Like, this is like what I'm internalizing from what he said. He's like, man, if the mind's willing, the body's ready to go, or something like along those lines. Me, Kendrick, or and his buddy Danny's a friend of mine as well. He has a company, 6 for 6, and Garrett Fisher, we're all at CrossFit Soul in Miami, training at like, I think it was like midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. Snatch, clean, jerk. Like, we started stretching at like midnight and started lifting. But his whole thing is that you can't make an excuse for your training. And that was one of the things that had a really big impact on my life, is seeing Kendrick as a two-time Olympian. And it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what time it is. If you need to get in what you need to get in, you got to get it done. So it was really interesting. So for me, no, like, there is no excuse. How do you train on the road? Find time.
Okay.
Wake up earlier. You know, like, yeah, that's it.
For sure. So back to kind of your gym.
Yeah.
Why did you want to open a gym in the first place?
I love people.
Okay.
I love people and I want to help people. And what I'm good at, I think, is bringing groups of people together and introducing information, specifically in strength and conditioning. And that's what I'm good at. Like, I'm not good at a lot of things, but I would say business and helping people are two things that I'm really good at. And I have a really big passion for strength and conditioning. Both my parents are in strength and conditioning. Been around gyms my whole life. It's just most natural for me.
Okay. How did you develop the gym? What were kind of, so let's say I'm a guy. Right?
Yeah.
Hey, I want to start a gym, right? What kind of advice would you give me when I'm trying to start a gym?
Like, do you
two
love,
or three tips.
Do you love the gym?
I love the gym. I love to train. I mean, if I could be there, you know, 24/7, I probably would.
Would you work for free?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay.
Like, if you love it and you're willing to work for free and you wouldn't quit on it no matter what, if it's a passion for you, let the passion lead you. Have a smart plan and approach, but don't have a plan and approach that keeps you from action. I think a lot of people, they have a lot of ideas and they want to do a lot of things and they're stuck in the development phase, but they never get into the action phase. I'm actually one of the first people to know, like, vocally outside of like just my friends. I'm actually writing a book.
Okay.
And it's going to be talking a lot about, it's called The School of Success, and it's going to be talking a lot about an approach to life. And one of the things that I talked about in the book is that failure is only described as failure if it's something that you don't learn from, or something that keeps you in the same place or digresses you as a person.
A redefinition, basically.
A redefinition. And so I like to see what is most commonly seen as failure as an opportunity for growth. So if you experience what someone would say is a failure or a missed opportunity or something happened, well, I see it as a learning experience. And as long as you're able to learn and grow from that and move forward, it's not a failure. But if you fail by classic standards and it keeps you in the same spot or digresses you, that's a failure because there's no personal growth. We were made to learn and to grow. We were made to have interaction with others. You can't allow fear to keep you from doing the things that you want to do in life, and you can't let the variable that you don't know control the thoughts and the decisions that you make.
How far along are you in the book?
It's almost done.
Awesome.
I decided I want to write it, like, I think a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Are you going, is it ebook, paperback?
It's going to 100% be an ebook, and then my brother has encouraged me to make it a actual book.
Okay.
I wanted to just get the content out and get people excited about it. My brother.
Oh, it sounds awesome.
My brother actually thinks that it could do very well.
Okay.
I mean, anything I do my best at, but so he wants me to make it an actual book, and I have interviews from some of the best coaches in the world of all time.
Okay.
And some of the best athletes across multiple various sports, and the whole idea behind the book is it's 20 interviews on 20 of some of the most successful people in sports and like strength and conditioning, and I ask them questions that most people won't ask them, and it's not a book about making money. It's a book about learning who you are as a person, learning how to grow.
Okay.
And so I'm excited about it.
That's actually, so a question to you then.
Yeah.
What have you learned, let's say, through being a business owner from your gym as well as Caffeine and Ketones? What have you learned about yourself?
I'd say the number one thing that I've learned is, I'd say like in three parts. One, if you believe in something, pursue it. Two, you have to have a like amazing work ethic to make something happen. And the third thing is you have to have compassion, because whether you're dealing with your significant other, whether you're dealing with people you work with, or you're dealing with just people in general, everyone is at a different place in their life, and you have to understand where people are coming from and not put your perspective or your thoughts or what you would do in a certain situation and place it on somebody else. As soon as you do that, you lose what I call the human connection is, and you're only wanting out of that person what you desire instead of reaching for them and saying, where are you at?
Yeah, and I can attest to that first person. I mean, I reached out to you. You don't know who I am.
Yeah.
You don't know who we are, and you were like...
I know now.
You know now, but you're totally cool about, you know, spending about half an hour with us and, you know, talk about, you know, you, your business and whatnot.
Yeah. There's nothing to hide if you're doing something right.
Okay. Speaking of business, Caffeine and Kilos, lifestyle brand, how did that come about?
I'll give you the condensed version.
Sure.
That's like weird. The condensed version is like this. Have you ever seen the movie Crash? Where there's like seven different stories and they all kind of like run into one?
Yeah.
I called my buddy Danny, who's our CFO and one of the owners, one day out of nowhere. I competed with him a little bit in weightlifting. I just got his phone number from somebody. I called him. I'm like, hey, dude, here's what I want to do. I know you live for Cal Strength. I know you own an affiliate as well. Let's work together and host a giant meet and get some of the best weightlifters in the country, some of the Olympians to come out and compete and do like a huge seminar and get people excited about Olympic weightlifting, try to grow the sport. So Danny really never talked to me on the phone. He's like, dude, okay, awesome. So we talked for like 2 hours and we start talking about all these things about what we can do and we start working on this idea, and then like a couple days later he calls me back and was like, dude, what if we turn it into like more of like a competition and we do like a huge cash prize? And so we start like developing this idea about doing this like really big cash prize weightlifting meet and with the best lifters, right? We're working on this. You fast forward about a month from that original story when I called Danny. I'm in the gym and one of my clients comes in, or members, and he's like, hey man, you need a gym t-shirt. And I was like, man, gym t-shirts suck. Every time I have them, no one wants to buy them. And whenever I don't have them, everyone wants one. He's like, dude, just go to this website. You can like make shirts online. It's really easy. So I go online, and I have ADD, so I didn't like make a gym shirt. I was like, oh, I'll make a tank top. So I made a tank top, and it said My Life, and it was a weightlifter and a coffee cup. I'm like, dude, all I do is drink coffee and lift weights. I'm like, that's all my friends do. And so I put the picture of it on Instagram. I'm like, hey, who would want this shirt? And I had like an overwhelming response of people that wanted it. And I was like, my buddy Dean, we've been friends since we've been young. I was like, he's a He's our chief of operations.
So there's three of you.
Yeah, chief of operations, head of design, and like a really good friend of mine. He's always into fashion. He did some like clothes and stuff before. And I was like, dude, I think there's something to this. Like, we should do something. Like, do some of this. It's like coffee and weightlifting. We start going back and forth that day, and like, dude, it's like caffeine and kilos, right? So we're like super stoked. They're like, all right, let's like make a tank top called caffeine kilos and go with it, right? So then that story with Danny happened about a month previous. Then me and Dean are here. Then me and Danny start talking again, and I was like, dude, we should do
this. Overlapping.
It's kind of overlapping back and forth. So now I go, Danny, dude, me and my buddy Dean are like thinking about doing this thing, caffeine and kilos. What if we like merged them and made it like one big thing? And we're all like, heck yeah, dude. So we took the caffeine and kilos idea, merged that with the competition. We then like incorporated a bunch. There's so much more to the story, but like then we incorporated making our CrossFit style competition in the morning. So we have like an active, you know, following of people that are there to watch the weightlifting. Hey man, good to see you. Good, I'll catch up with you in a little bit, okay? So we do like this whole thing, and basically we put on one of the biggest cash prize meets, like the Arnold, in the U.S. And we introduced since I started my affiliate, it's kind of been with me. And every time I would go somewhere or like interact with people, Dean was always with me. So Dean got to meet everybody. Like me and Dean kind of knew CrossFit, and then Danny kind of knew weightlifting. We kind of merged all those relationships. And the best part was is that we never had a plan to make it a business, but for years we developed, like Danny and weightlifting and me in CrossFit and Dean being, you know, around me, we developed a lot of respect because we would volunteer for events, we were nice to people, like basically we were good people for a long time, and we just happened to like come out with a product. And as soon as we did, everyone already trusted us because it wasn't like, hi, I'm someone you've never met before. Will you
buy my t-shirt?
It was like, yo, Jason, dude, check out, I brought you this hat for your birthday. And Kalipa gets the hat and he's just like, dude, this hat's sick. Do you want to carry it to my store? And I'm like, sure. So we put it in NorCal, you know, like that. It's just the relationships that we have were genuine. So then I felt like a lot of times what was going on is my friends or our friends were just supporting us. And it just happened to be that they're pretty influential, and so that kind of grew everything that we had.
Do you guys, the three of you, ever argue?
All time.
Okay.
Like, we haven't today because Danny's in Mexico, but generally for all of the United States, right. Yeah, every day.
What are some of the things you guys argue? I mean, you don't have to go in specifics, but how do you guys get over those arguments?
We pretty much argue a lot on ping pong, on like what the actual rules are at our warehouse. Like, me and Dean play games till 11, and then if it's 11-11, it's, you know, you have to win by two. Every time Danny's there, he wants to play to 21, and I feel like that just gives him a better opportunity to come back in the game if we're killing him, you know what I mean? So we argue about that. We argue about who cheated on the basketball machine, times on the hoverboard. Those are like our biggest arguments.
Okay.
Those are good arguments to have, like game related, yeah. Or like training or what we should like drink or eat. But on just like everything, we're really close, like all of us. Danny, me and Dean have known each other a long time. Danny's who we've known the least amount of time, but we've still known him for a while. But we're all brothers. I mean, there's times where, you know, Dean will come into my office and he's pissed off about something, or I'll go in his office pissed off, or Danny will call me, he's mad about something. But it's like brothers. Like, it's just, it is what it is, man. Like, if you don't have that, something's wrong. I tell people all the time, I've been happily married as of this year for 5 years. Been my wife for, thank you, yeah, like 9 years. And we argue every single day over stupid stuff, but it's a constant, but it's like we talk through it, but if you internalize all that stuff and you just like sink it in, what's going to happen is one day you're just going to explode. So I learned it from my grandparents. They call it constant communication. We're not arguing, we're communicating, right? And so as long as you're doing that, I think it's also very healthy because everyone kind of knows where you're at. And for example, I'll give you a pretty hand-in-hand example. Me and Danny are so close and we travel so much together because travel's a lot. The other day I called him and I was just like, hey man, like, you do this sometimes and I've never told you that it kind of bothers me. And I know that you're not doing it for any other reason. It's just you're comfortable with me. But like this thing I just don't really care for. And he's like, dude, he like felt almost like got upset, almost started like, I didn't say he was gonna cry, but he's like, dude, you're like my best friend, you're like my brother. I didn't even know.
Why haven't you told me?
And it was funny, but like
question.
Sometimes for guys to say that to another guy, like, dude, this kind of hurts my feelings.
Bro,
you don't want to do it. But if I didn't say that and I didn't feel open enough to tell Danny, it would never change. And on his behalf, he didn't even know he was doing it. Okay. So now we were able to work through that. And that's what I was saying, is having compassion, understanding, and working with people is about being real. You can't be in a working relationship or business relationship or a coaching relationship or an athlete relationship or vice versa and not be a real person. If you're not expressing yourself or telling someone where you're at.
And open and honest.
And open and honest.
And be receptive too.
Yeah, you have to be receptive to all that.
Okay. What's one thing that you haven't, what's the one thing you maybe haven't been asked before in an interview or a podcast, or one thing that you really want to express that you haven't before? And it could be anything. It could be fitness.
I would say like, I have expressed it before, but it's not like a soapbox thing, but I tell people that I choose not to live in fear, and I think that's something very strong to say, because fear can manifest itself into so many different areas of your life, and I think it's what cripples a lot of people from having a lot of success or a lot of happiness. And so I second that with this, is that how I'm able to live without fear is my relationship with God, and knowing that nothing will ever happen to me that I can't handle, or that God's not bigger than. And so for me, that's what gives me the confidence to do the things that I do every day, makes me fearless in all the things that I do. To others, it doesn't have to be that, but I would say living without fear is something that I would desire for everybody, and how they come to that point of confidence might be different than me, but it's important to find something to believe in, or something to be devoted to, that gives you the ability to know that no matter what, everything's going to be okay and I'm going to get through it, and whatever happens, I don't have to worry. Because I think that fear and worry, like I said, it just cripples a lot of people.
How did you, I find this extremely interesting, how did you, because a lot of people do have this kind of hindrance or this baggage of fear.
Yes.
Right? How can you, I guess, advise someone again to develop this mindset? I know, understand that everybody has a different situation.
Yeah.
So maybe from your experience, how do you get to this place where you don't have fear?
It's kind of funny because it's not a picture in my book. That's exactly what I'm writing. So I think it's identify, right? Like identify what fear is. And fear is the inability to understand an unknown variable, right? Like when I was going to date my wife, like, will she kiss me tonight? Will she not? I don't know. What do I do? You know what I mean? Like, or like, whatever. Or will I get this job? Or will I make this lift? Whether you make it or miss it, you don't know until you go out there and do it. So that, like, identifying that fear is the unknown variable is the easiest thing. Then once you identify it as the unknown variable, understanding why that fear would exist, right? Well, like, okay, well, that's irrelevant because, you know, miss or make, I need to go out there and do it. So then basically taking that fear and like identifying it and then saying, okay, I'm not going to have it. And then how you're able to move forward is a mentality or an attitude towards what is it you're trying to pursue. And so I think it's as simple as having a negative or positive mindset. So if you're approaching a problem and you identified, okay, what is fear? Fear is the unknown variable. I've identified that and I understand it. Now I'm going to move past that with a good mentality. Now there's two options, positive or negative. Well, I don't know. I might, like, positive self-talk, right? Like, I don't know. I might miss this. You start getting worried. That's going to manifest itself through your actions. But if you're just like, you know what? I've identified as a variable and there's only two outcomes. Either I'm successful or I'm not. I'm going to be successful. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to knock it out of the park. And just kind of get into your own mind that there's nothing you can do. And guess what? If you fall short, at least you went into that variable with the best mindset possible. You know what I mean? So from there, it's also on how you experience, that leads into how do you define failure, right? Like if you go into it and you end up failing, but you give it your best approach, learn from that mistake, remain positive and fix it again. But if you let it take you back, that's where it becomes a failure.
Yeah, and I think I was there too. We were there too when we trying to do this. We're like,
yeah,
I'm afraid to go up to Charlie Zamora and say hi.
Oh, dude, never fear me.
No,
I'm the dumbest person you'll ever meet.
You're not at all.
Yeah.
But just as an example, right? But
yeah.
That was me last year. I had like this fear of approaching people like that. I thought were like, you know, in my head, I'm like thinking I'm talking to celebrities. celebrities, but it's
no, far from that.
It's just you're a regular person. You're a very nice guy, and once you actually get to know these people, they're very open and accommodating. They just want to help other people as well. So identifying that fear is making me, I was nervous and anxious and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then let me just try. And we talked about before, if you don't try, it's when you start failing.
Failing. Right? Yeah.
So we started trying, and then next thing you know, we're talking to Charlie some more. Having a good time.
She just talked to my wife first. She'd tell you that I suck. I can't do anything right. You'd be like, I can totally talk to this guy.
We'll get her next.
Yeah, he's a failure.
We'll get her next and play the interview first. All right, we're going to start winding down here. And what we like to do is do like a lightning round, 24-second shot clock thing.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm just kind of quick hitters, four or five questions. It's the top of my head.
I also appreciate you guys doing this.
Oh, anytime. Yeah. Thank you for Thank you.
Yeah.
Snatch or clean and jerk?
Competition or training?
Both.
Competition, clean and jerk, training, snatch.
Okay. Favorite color of t-shirt from Caffeine and Kilos?
Oh, man. I like all of them. I would say I probably wear the black one the most just because it matches everything.
Okay. Like right now?
Like right now, yeah.
Okay.
I also wear pretty crazy socks sometimes, so it just kind of helps out.
I love the shoes, by the way. They really
clash.
Thank you.
Yeah.
with the shirt. You have a pretty sick tattoo.
Yeah.
You have several, right?
A lot.
Okay, what's your favorite tattoo? Or part of your tattoo, and why?
If my wife was here, I'd say it's her name.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I do love that one. It's hard to say what my favorite one is. How about this? My first tattoo I ever got was when I was 18, and it was a dedication or outward expression of my faith that I knew would hold me accountable to my actions in public, and even more so, like when my shirt was off is when generally you can get in more trouble, and like whether you're at the beach or whatever, you know, and on my back it says, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, has a cross and a crown, and it's not talking about myself, it's that, for me, God's the king of my life, and he's, you know what I mean, like, he's the person and the reason why I'm able to do the things that I want to do and live this life, so, an outward expression of my faith. Most of my tattoos are all about my family or my faith.
Okay.
There's not really one that isn't, yeah.
And last question, where can people, if I'm outside the weightlifting CrossFit community, where can people find you, Caffeine and Kilos?
Yeah, I'm always working, so like you can find me at the warehouse or at my gym or an event.
Right.
But caffeineandkilos.com.
Yeah.
I was actually talking to Katie, the owner of Rogue, yesterday, and I was asking her how things are going, and she said, I asked her what her plans were for the future, and they said that her and Bill want to be the biggest online distribution center for equipment, which I think is a very awesome thing. I think they can do it. And so with saying that, people automatically assume Rogue as CrossFit because that's where they kind of got their start.
Yeah.
And sometimes people automatically assume us as CrossFit or weightlifting. It's kind of where we got our start. But what I see for Caffeine and Kilos is similar to Rogue, but for our products to be able to transcend into every arena that people lift weights, and every arena that people enjoy caffeine and support them, whether it's bodybuilding, strongman, weightlifting, CrossFit. It's just a cool brand for people who like to live an active lifestyle.
Okay.
And we want people to be a part of that group, and we want to be exclusive, inclusive, not exclusive, and make sure that everyone feels loved and accepted by us. And if you're trying to be healthy and live a good life, then we're a brand for you.
Okay. Any projects, kind of events that you guys are going to next? Hosting?
Yeah, I don't want to look at my phone. I've been gone this year almost every weekend.
Okay.
And then I will be like all the way through. I'm really hopeful that Morgan King will make, one of our athletes will make the Olympics this year, and if she does, I'd be really excited to go to Rio and watch her. Yeah.
Awesome.
That'd be fun.
So just stay tuned, basically follow you guys on social at Caffeine and Kilos to figure out where you guys
are headed. Caffeine and Kilos Instagram. I run all of our social media accounts, do most of our marketing, but Caffeine and Kilos on Instagram. We have a YouTube channel. Flow Elite does a bunch of stuff on us. Okay. We're always at events.
Right.
Yeah. And we're just, it was good that people now get to learn from you. We're very accessible.
Yeah.
Just more than all you have to do is just talk
just
to
holler,
us.
Yeah. All right.
You did make me read on that consent form, which took me like 20 minutes. No, it's smart that you did that. I'm like, oh, dude.
All right, we're gonna finish up. Charlie, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
We're on Charlie Performance, Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah, check these guys out.
Yeah. Thank you again, man.
Thank you, man.
Awesome
really appreciate it. Thank you.